February can be a difficult month in the Upper Peninsula as we anxiously await days with more sun and warmer temperatures. What you can do now to improve your mind, body, and spirit next on Media Meet. Welcome to Media Meet. I'm your host, Elizabeth Peterson. We're talking about health and wellness on the show today. We're checking in on New Year's resolutions and talking about how to set realistic goals now to make 2020 your best year yet. Joining us on the show, Travis Alexander from the YMCA, Brianna Salmela from Honor Yoga 906, and Dr. Scott Dowdy from UP Holistic Medicine. Thank you all for joining us today. Appreciate you.
you being here.
So before we really get into the health and wellness, I think it would be great if you could each talk about your background a little bit, what you're passionate about and how you got into it.
Yeah, so I guess from as long as I can remember growing up, I was always very active and obviously exercise. And going through growing up, I always thought there was a passion for exercise, but actually I took a different path initially to become a civil engineer, which obviously today here I'm sitting and did not go through. So, but no, I found passion in exercise. So I looked to Northern Michigan University and their sports science program because of the USOEC program. And then I got into personal training. I really found a passion in trying to help people, trying to be the preventative side, to try and enable them to do things and achieve goals that they may have never, you know, they won't do on their own. So for the past 12 years, I've been a personal trainer working with, you know, lots of people and trying to influence them to be healthier, the best version of themselves. And that's, as you grow up and you kind of see the world a little more, you find out that fortunately that was the right path for me. And that's my passion. And I've been really fortunate to do that and have a family here in Marquette and kids. And you're trying to just lead by example. As I tell a lot of my clients and members of the YMCA, it's just be the best version of yourself, be the healthiest version of yourself. And, you know, don't let numbers like your age or your ability level to hold you back. And so, yeah, so really going through, that's my big story. Just being a health professional and trying to make people, you know, healthier versions of themselves.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you very much for being here. Brianna?
Yeah, I own Honor Yoga 906 in Nagani, and I never really loved yoga. And my mom sent me to yoga training about 10 years ago in Sedona, Arizona. She said, "You're going." So I went 100 hours in 1 week of yoga training, and I came home with her and I said, "Thank you." And I want to open up a yoga studio. She was shocked because I used to make fun of her for doing yoga. So I started at the Y in Nagani teaching yoga there. And for three, five years, I said, I'm going to open up a studio. So 3 years ago in Nagani, I did open a studio. I've done many, many yoga trainings, and I love it. The trainings have just made me realize how I need to take care of myself. And that's why I opened up the yoga studio, to help people. It's a great workout, and it's for the mind, body, and soul too. So that's why I opened. Yeah.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Scott Dowdy?
Yeah. 28 years ago, when I was about 10 years old, I came here for the family medicine residency program at then Marquette General Hospital.
Okay.
And had a wonderful time. My wife and I were newly married, and we found home in Marquette. But we were adventurers, and the bug bit us, so we went to Alaska after there and worked a few jobs up in Alaska, and then went to New Mexico and spent 10 years working with the Indian Health Service. There, I saw a different level of disease and lifestyle-related illness, but I also saw different levels and ways of healing. It was really in New Mexico where I experienced yoga, where I experienced acupuncture and massage therapy and all things that were happening here when I left, but not in a big way. So we came back after 10 years in New Mexico so that I could teach at the same residency program where I had trained. But my mind was tilted slightly differently than it had been when I left. That was 10 years away from big pharma, mm-hmm. away from drug reps coming into doctors' offices and telling them about the latest and greatest things and telling them that the thing they talked about last year is no longer good, and now this is the good one. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't wrap my head around that as a concept long term. So I started to look back to, what are we made of? What do we need? how do we thrive? And what I realized was that very rarely that any of those questions were answered by a pharmaceutical product. So I was off to the races, going to conferences, learning about holistic care, integrative care, functional medicine. And within a couple of years, I had essentially thought my way out of a job that I liked very much, but I couldn't do it anymore because what I really wanted to focus on was the body, the natural state that we were born in, that we thrive in, and the recognition that there's a lot to do besides pharmaceutical medicine to restore or maintain health.
Sure. Well, and it seems like the conversation now is much more accepted as far as the bigger picture, looking at the whole picture, the connecting the mind, body, and the spirit. And really not just focusing on one area. It used to be, here's your workout routine, go do that. And that was the thing. And now it's this big component, the bigger picture. Talk a little bit about that approach and what you're seeing there.
I 100% agree with what Scott said, because what we're seeing through the last, two decades, if not longer, is that there's this push, and where it's a collaboration of where we're not trying to push to, we're functional medicine. We're looking at ways to prevent waste and not just take the easy fix. A lot of people are realizing that the long-term effects of taking medications and not doing things is having more of a negative outcome and causing further issues. So as me being a personal trainer, I am the wellness guy to go to for the help of workouts, the help of keeping accountable and really staying on track, because it's the preventative side that people want to have. It's the edge. They just know that they do not want to be taking medications every day. And when you can collaborate with professionals in the community that believe in specific testing, trying to look at other tests that realize what they're deficient in and maybe probably causing a lot of their issues, you take a different approach to the wellness. And I think for the year going into 2020, the future is going to be a continuous switch where we're trying to get out of the big pharma. We're trying to get out of just taking something, and you really where you can take the preventative approach with proper education and proper tests and really having professionals that know what to do and where to kind of guide you, instead of just, good luck with your workout. Like you're gonna figure it out. And we won't. It's proven. The science, it's like nobody's gonna follow through. Somebody has to keep you accountable, because there's a lot of roadblocks. And as we all grew up, we weren't taught realistically on the health and science, maybe a little bit in the field, but we weren't taught about nutrition. We weren't taught about exercise. We weren't taught about actually foods and type of maybe supplementation that you should take proper than just, we just, there was lack of education. And so fortunately, the world's shifting. I see it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's my my big take on it. And I'm excited. I'm really excited for what my career is going to transform into. And fortunately for Scott, he took a huge step, and because he found passion in trying to create this. But then also you have these amazing yoga studios that are connecting your body again, because we're like in this rat race, I feel, in the civilization, where we're just wake up, do this, look at social media, and you just kind of lose yourself. Like, who are you? So
how does somebody get out of that rat race? Do you need a personal trainer, you need a yoga master, and you need a nutritionist? Or, how do you work with somebody? What do you guide them towards so that they can come up with a plan for themselves that works?
Well, I'm the guy that usually has people come to them when they have issues.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the occasional person that comes and says, I'm fine. I just want you in my corner.
Right.
So let me get a baseline understanding of what you can assess with my biochemistry, with my food sensitivities, with my hormones. But actually, I don't have any issues. That has happened one or two times in 5 years.
Sure.
The overlap that I see in the three of us is the reverence for how we were designed and how to best access the healthiest parts of us so that those can flourish. And it turns out, and we all see this, when you put attention to the things that can flourish and you get them going, other stuff jumps in too. And so pain stops hurting, anxiety stops bothering, there's more calm, there's better sleep, and momentum builds. So it's just a matter of what tools we use to assess and then help guide or steer the system back on track.
Bree, what do you see at your studio? I have talked to you and I've talked to you guys about how you always are telling people, go to your mat, just show up, get to your mat, and let the magic kind of unfold.
Yeah.
So talk about that process and how what you're teaching.
Yeah, well, speaking after Dr. Doughty here, I have people come into the studio and they're like, my doctor told me I need yoga. And I'm like, awesome, who is your doctor? That's awesome. And some people just walk through the door and they're just like pulled to practice yoga, and lots of them are like, what is this? And they get to your mat. We will guide you. All the teachers are amazing, and things will come up for you on your mat. Yes, anybody can go and do a yoga class. We have different modifications, and we really work on doing a powerful flow. And when we get to like half pigeon and the hips, things are blocked in our hips, like deep down issues that happened when you're a child, and we store it there. So when people are in those poses, things come up for them. So I guide them how to handle that. And it's really good to let go and release stress and anxiety. And then when you can let go and release, then you can bring in the good things in your life. Like, it's like restructuring how we think about ourselves. And I just keep telling people, keep showing up. If you do yoga 3 days a week, you'll feel great. Like, you'll, no doubt, you'll feel good. If you do 4 to 5, 6 times a week, it will change your life. And I've seen it many times, and I have lots of members, and they're always coming up to me. I'm so grateful. And then I have those members again at Funk. They're just like, oh, I just can't wake up. I can't do it. And I'm just like, great. I meet them where they're at and just guide them to like keep going, keep finding your yoga mat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're about six weeks into the new year. A lot of people who did set health resolutions at the first of the year are kind of coming up to a critical point. 6 weeks is a big time to reevaluate, maybe readjust those goals. What do you see happening 6 weeks in? What do you tell people?
Reevaluate, like that's the biggest thing. Was it realistic? You know, did you set out this audacious goal, which I'll be your number one fan. I'll support you because no matter what, some goals that people come in and they're like, wow, that's pretty big. And they achieve it. So you can never, you got to meet people where they're at. You got to figure out what are they doing? And also, is the approach that they're taking, are they really looking at the big picture? You know, we can sit on a bike or run in a treadmill and exercise every day for hours. But if you have poor nutrition, you have a lot of other things, emotions that are going in your life, that can actually hinder a lot of your success. So when you look at other opportunities and other professionals where maybe they need to look at food sensitivity testing, maybe they're eating foods that are not agreeing with their, you know, their genetics, their DNA. And then also even further, like there's epigenetics, like just digging down, how deep do you have to go? Or is it just an emotional? What's the roadblock, that emotion that's blocking you? So that's why you have a health professional. You look out for, if you are into, you know, going to the gym, you seek out that personal trainer. You look at someone who's certified in hopefully a broad array of things that they can guide you in the right direction. Or you're going to a yoga studio, or you're looking at meeting with your doctor but a holistic doctor, or you're meeting with a doctor who's agreeing the best with you. Because, I mean, granted, we have a lot of great doctors here in Marquette, and you're so fortunate for that. So it's like, what path are you taking that's suited best for you? And don't be afraid to ask questions. You know, it's like, it's your journey. So yeah, but you always have to reevaluate. Like, I always recommend every month, you know, there's weekly check-ins, but there's this month and the next, you have short-term and then you have long-term goals. Are all your goals lining up to be realistic? And if they're not, that's when you just reevaluate and look at other possible avenues that you may have to take.
For somebody that comes in with a health ailment, whether it be food or nutrition, what is that process like for you? How do you evaluate them, and then when do you reevaluate? And
yeah, one of the unique features of my practice is before a person even meets with me, they're filling out a 42-page online questionnaire that represents more than they've ever been asked about their health, and I've yet to meet a person who said, oh no, Dr. So-and-so has a bigger questionnaire than you do. And I laugh at, because I remember when I was designing it, I laughed at the future comments that would be made. But for me, I want that level of detail.
Yeah.
And I study that before I even meet with them the first time. So I've put in my time to get to know what their issues are, what their background, what their history is, and I'm already thinking about what kind of information do I want to dig into to see if we can uncover where the stuck points might be, or where the deficiencies might be, or even just where the issues are. It's been my experience that, and I'll use your resolution timeline from January 1st to now.
Sure.
If 6 weeks after I've met with somebody and we've gotten the ball rolling, usually it's about a month before I get all the test results back, and so then that eats up 4 of the 6 weeks. But let's say 6 weeks after I get the test results back, if a person's not in it and feeling better, then it is time to reevaluate. And I usually am wanting people to keep me posted on that. I'll typically get a program going and then want to get back together again in 2 months or so. But if anything's happening along the way where it's either just falling flat, not working, or they're worse, then we've missed a turn somewhere and we need to reevaluate. Sure. But I kind of resist the resolution thing, because that would mean that I'd be busy in January and in October I'd be wondering where everybody is. Oh, they're coming in January. I have resolutions happening all the time.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how we're designed. You want to feel better now. You don't want to feel better in next month when it's time to say you want to feel better. So I like to remind people that we're searching for their best function and best feeling, and that can happen anytime. But if somebody's made resolutions on January 1st and they feel at this point like maybe it's not clicking, then they should consider not being a resolution person per se, and instead thinking more about resolutions often feel like failure opportunities. And so that's where people that do a lot of supporting of people in their personal journeys are going to say, let's disconnect from that promise you made yourself that you now feel bad about because you broke it.
Yeah.
And it's like they put so much pressure on that little bit of time. And when in reality, like, we work with people all year long, and that's great. So it's constantly these check-ins. And I feel like everyone says, oh, you must be busy in January. And then, you know, February, March, I'm like, I'm busy year round. We have a great population at the YMCA and we're busy year round. I actually have more people join in before the end of the year, like in October, just because of the weather's maybe changing, but it allows us to open up multiple avenues. And New Year's resolution is probably more of a media pump up, gets everyone fired up, which there is a amount of people, and I'm glad. I mean, if it connects to some people on a certain level, but like we were saying, we're seeing more of like, it's your time now. It's your, and every day, when can I start? Today. You don't have to wait next week, next month, next year. It's like, when do you start? You start today. You start when you want to initially maybe take that step. It's like, you're going to take a step and we're here to guide you on the way and try and steer you in the best possible route that works best for you. And making sure it's tailored to you, because we're all busy with our lives on everyday activities. So if you can take that little moment and just go forward, do it, just start.
I want to talk more about that, but first, a quick reminder for those who may have just joined us or those listening on Public Radio 90. We are here talking today about health and wellness, and we have Travis Alexander joining us from the YMCA, Brianna Salmala from Honor Yoga 906, and Dr. Scott Dowdy from UP Health Medicine. Thank you all again for joining us in this conversation. So you talk about just getting started. Today is your day, and get moving. Talk a little bit about how important, I keep hearing more and more about movement throughout your day. Can you talk to us a bit about that?
So I guess like a lot, I mean, from even studies each year, we find out even the American Heart Association, which is a great staple, you know, it start off as being active so many minutes a week, and then they've increased the time. But really, when you look at it from a day basis, a lot of us sit all day long. You know, we get up and maybe we do a workout, but then the rest of our day we're sitting. So it's trying to look at breaking up your day with movement. It's good to constantly move around. It's healthier for your body. You'll keep a lot of blood flow, healthy mindset. Hopefully you're stimulating some neurons in your brain to keep your body on edge. And that's just being, you don't have to move all day long, but it's just taking breaks throughout the day, midday, afternoon, and the evening, just trying to do something to stay active. Because here in the Upper Peninsula, we already know that maybe as the weather changes sometimes of the year, it's a little harder to stay active. So that's why you got to look at different avenues. How can you be active with, you know, the season changing?
What about you?
Well, when people show up to yoga, we start in child's pose, and they take it and they land, and I can see their faces are so happy because they know they're going to move and they're going to feel great after class. So it's just really moving in all four planes. And we have a YAD class at Honor Yoga. It stands for Your Own Determination. My sister created the class in, she lives in Minneapolis, and it started there. And YAD is all over the United States. And she creates each class each day. And it's moving every muscle in every different plane, and we start out with a little warm-up, then we move and integrate our bodies, and then it's a YAD minute, like high-intensity go workout, and then an awesome cool-down. And I have heard from many, many people, this class is amazing. And I just have, my studio's just packed, people are showing up, they're just loving moving, and some people are like, I never did sports in high school or middle school, and I feel so amazing. People feel like an athlete, like they can do something. So it's just great seeing people who sit all day or don't have the opportunity to move a lot through the day and then just come to class and just move their bodies and then have that cool down too, because that's so important, just to like take time to melt on your yoga mat and just decompress from a long day.
And now you actually are going to Africa in a couple of weeks teach YAD.
Yes, I leave Wednesday and I'm going to Kenya. So it's Africa Yoga Project. And there's about 88 people signed up to take YAD level one. So my sister has created these level one trainings to train people how to teach YAD. So I'm going over there to lead it with, and we're gonna train 88 people, and then we're gonna do YAD level two. So she has created all these trainings for yoga teachers to teach the YAD class, and it's all over the United States, and she's already been to Africa with YAD, and I'm going with a second trip here.
Yeah,
and they love dancing over there and moving and going upside down and just doing crazy yoga moves. They're so excited.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Mm-hmm. February is an important month across the United States. It's Heart Health Month, and that is especially important for women, as it is the number one cause of death in the United States for women. One in three women will have heart disease in their lifetime. What do women need to know? What do you want to tell your patients, your clients about this month in particular?
I think this is Scott's. This is the guy. This is hormones. Right. This is the guy right here.
Yeah, every month's heart month.
Yes.
Every
yeah.
day is heart day. Yeah. But we do appreciate these opportunities to focus in. And you know, I guess one of the claims to my local fame, if there is any, is that I'm gonna take what the mainstream says and does, and put a different lens in front of it and say, really? So you think that if you give a woman with high cholesterol a statin drug that you're helping her? There's no evidence that that prevents heart disease in that woman. There's lots of evidence that it does things that get in the way of her natural function, increased diabetes risk, increased Alzheimer's risk. Bad idea, but that's the mode. So in my world, a woman who's say premenopausal, I don't really care what her cholesterol is. I'm interested in family history. I'm interested in blood sugar status, because we know that prediabetes and diabetes can represent an inflammatory state, and then that can then lead to heart disease risk. But some of these basics that we've been talking about are still the basics for heart health. We were chatting a little bit before about heavy metals, and last year it was published that over 250,000 deaths in the U.S. can be attributed solely to lead and cadmium intoxication or toxicity in Americans. That's cardiovascular disease risk from heavy metals. I don't know anybody around here that's looking at heavy metals except me.
Sure.
And I'm finding them. So, and then I'm chelating people to get those metals out. So we're on another plane, so to speak, when it comes to things we emphasize, both for prevention, but also for recognition of risk and then doing something to change those risk parameters, not just say, oh, your cholesterol's high, I'm a good doctor, here's your statin drug, see you later.
Yeah. So what's the first step for a woman? What should they do? Get tested, have a screening with their doctor, or?
Well, people like to talk about making sure that they got clearance before they start an exercise program. Maybe we can chat about that a little bit, because if you're walking, you're in an exercise program, and I don't think you then need to go to your doctor to say, hey, I want to get this guy Travis to help me. Can you give me clearance for that? We sort of auto-clear based 100%. On what their lives represent.
Lives represent how they're, looking at heart rates, blood pressures. Like, from a safety standpoint, fortunately, we live in such a realm that we don't have to worry as much. Like, oh, they're going to come in, they're going to drop down and have a heart attack. You know, fortunately, I've been through that, so it's okay. We can survive on that. But, working with individuals, just trying to be, I think a lot of times when they know of cardiovascular disease, the world's starting to change a little bit where it's like, I need to start exercising. So it opens up that first door for them to get in. And I feel like it's, part of my job. It's part of a facility that is certified and has the capabilities to help point our members and clients in the best direction that's possible, whether it's using specific doctors, it's using specific methods, that's the latest and greatest and not just a trend setting. And fortunately, I've seen a lot of clients, a lot of members coming off of medications that they were put on that wasn't doing necessarily what it was supposed to. And they improved their numbers. And, they attribute it to, hey, I started working out. It's like, well, it's kind of the first step of many. You started working out, you started watching your food better, you started just taking care of yourself. And a lot of times we're, as humans, I guess just in general, we're great at taking care of others. A lot of times when we're not great at taking care of ourselves, so until we make the commitment, to take care of yourself, all the doors start opening up. And fortunately, it's as our world's progressing and the mainstream media can try and push so much at us, but a lot of it's being uncovered. Heavy metals is a big issue. Food sensitivity is a big issue. Making sure you're getting tested on hormone panels to see where you are. We were joking before when we checked on the watch, the step tracker, which I love, but I look at my watch and my phone how many hundreds of times a day, and it's being linked to elevated cortisol levels. Like, we're already stressed enough. Mm-hmm. So it's like, we're just, oh, there it goes. And it's just little spikes. So there's sometimes, they're good and bad, like all that. So it's trying to really, as research continues to go on, and if you're open to hearing and listening to professionals, you'll get the advice you need.
Yeah. Well, that is all the time that we have for today. The time always goes by so fast. I want to thank you for joining us, Travis, Bree, Dr. Dowdy. I appreciate your time. And for those watching and listening on Public Radio 90, thank you. I'm Elizabeth Peterson for WNMU's Media Meet. Have a great week.
The preceding program was produced by WNMU-TV, Northern Michigan University Public Television, in studios located in Elizabeth and Edgar Hardin Hall.